So let me begin. Actually, the premise for this presentation, and I'd like to briefly acknowledge that my co-author is in the room, Ms. Elizabeth De La Fuente. She's the executive director for the Health Collaborative. She's at the back of the room, so I appreciate her her attention and her attendance this afternoon. And also, we have a board a member from the Board of Managers, actually for the Collaborative. That's Christine Rutherford Stewart. So she's also here in the audience. And so it's a great opportunity because, again, what we wanted to look at was the role of this organization in not only advancing community, improving community health status, but how do you best leverage those resources in those communities? And, of course, I have no presenter disclosures. So in terms of the learning objectives, again, one of the things we wanted to do was really describe two ways the adoption of community health assessment can benefit strategies to identify and target health priorities in the population, and then discuss three preliminary action steps taken to develop an agency with a public health mandate to improve community health outcomes through assessment and planning, and then finally list some opportunities for strengthening capacity, visibility, and overall impact of organizations leading community health planning efforts. And so again, going back to kind of the background and context, we all know the importance now more than ever in terms of assessing systems and communities. And so when you look at the community health assessment, it really is integral, not only in measuring the impact of chronic disease, communicable diseases, safety and injury, but it's also seen as a critical countermeasure in terms of communities raising awareness, identifying health conditions, elevating community awareness, and then again, engaging those individuals and populations to address those issues. In terms of the assessment, it's now more importantly looking at two areas, performance measurement and then population-based care. From the local health departments, it's now meeting accreditation standards, so it's integral to their work. But also, being a member of a health system, it's also part, again, of ACA. And as a health system, we must undertake CHA in terms of implementation strategies. So let me briefly take you to Bexar County, Texas. We're a population of about 1.7 million. Since 2000, we have had some rapid growth, about 23% of the population increase. And then we are a minority-majority city, about 59%. 6 out of 10 residents are of Hispanic origin. And we're also a relatively young city. So in terms of social and economic background, we do have disparate educational outcomes, not only in number of educational attainment tied to high school and bachelor degrees earned, which, again, vary by race and ethnicity, but also those are also tied to low wages. And while San Antonio has relatively weathered the economic downturn moderately well, when you look at the county and within the county, there are pockets and high pockets of the city where in county where there's high rates of unemployment that oftentimes are 2 to 3 times the national rate. And so then we have about 22% of the population that does live in poverty. When we look at access to health and health outcomes, about 24% of residents have no health insurance, 17% have no medical care due to cost. And when you look at the leading causes of death, again, those, the top three are cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. And when you look at years of potential life lost before the age of 65, you look at, again, geographic regions where you look at the southern and western sectors of the city and you see higher compared to others. So in terms of the Health Collaborative, it's a nonprofit 501c3. It is comprised of a partnership of health systems and public health community stakeholders. And really, its origins came out of a need to fulfill a mandate for community health assessment. What you see pictured here was the first health assessment report that came out in 1998. And then in subsequent years, every 4 years, that they release additional assessments. The primary goal was, again, from meeting hospital needs to serving as a bridge for addressing gaps in services and disparities by bringing local partners to the table. That was critical. And so while it was initially a way to meet a certain mandate, it basically transitioned from that. The value for the Health Collaborative has been of adding members and diversifying in terms of community-based organizations, health plans, business, university and city-county organizations. It's currently comprised of about a 13-member board, and again, from various sectors. And again, its primary mission is to improve the health status of the community through collaborative means, being the key. So when we were putting the presentation together, one of the discussions we had is, you know, there's a general equation that we look at, and the equation we wanted to look at was, how do we put together the various elements that have done some good work in terms of putting together not only data-driven strategies, but assessment? So when we looked at it, it was again an equation to address community health improvement. And how do we do that? We do that basically through two primary mechanisms, but really it's the community data, which is basically derived from the community health assessment, and that data is collected in three phases. Phase one, in terms of health outcomes and conditions, data from the local health department, hospital systems, the BRFIS, but we also look at health behaviors as well in phase two. And in phase three, we basically go into the community and we take the community perceptions to look at exactly what are the priorities that they see in terms of their local community. And then we take that and we also begin to set priorities through the community health improvement plan. And that again is a focus-based need built upon capacity. And so that then elevates community engagement, and that is bringing together not only local resources, but developing a plan of action to address those. So here's the community health assessment. Basically, it was developed in terms of its timeline, was in January 2010, and it was in collaboration or participation by the Health Resources in Action out of Boston. And really the goal of the community health assessment was to identify health conditions, like health outcomes with behaviors based on social determinants framework, which I think we've been alluded to in the previous presentations. And more importantly, it was a way to also give voice to the community. Some of the key themes that came out of this report was, again, behavioral and disease distribution consistent with social and economic patterns, obesity and physical activity being on the top, and then health systems focus, primarily, again, on the individual in terms of their treatment and disease, and then health programs and services should address community daily reality, the lives and the needs of the residents. And again, that was brought forth through the community focus groups. To complement that, then, we said, okay, so we've identified these issues and conditions. Now what do? What are our next steps? And right after that was the Community Health Improvement Plan. Its core planning group convened in February of 2011, and that was in partnership with the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District and Health Resources in Action once again, with a report released in May of 2012. So again, the goal was utilizing the MAP-NET framework to prioritize health issues through consensus of health system experts, and really look at specific targets and strategies. And it would look in the areas of prevention, built environment, behavior, and policy. So in terms of priorities, it looked at healthy eating and active living, healthy child and family development, safe communities, behavioral mental health, and sexual health. So again, these are the five work groups and priorities that were identified through the Community Health Improvement Plan. So here, I just wanted to put an example in terms of how we use the logic model from a community level perspective, from not only the overall programmatic goal of the health collaborative, which is to improve the health status of the community, but basically looking at the key strategies in place and then looking at the outputs. What's going on and what are the results? And some of the words, I apologize, may be probably too small to see there, but we also look at the short-term outcomes and the long-term goals. And those long-term goals being, again, establishing policy system changes that sustain community health, convene multi-sector partners and increase support and awareness of their role in health, and then reduce rates of key health challenges such as obesity, diabetes, and heart disease. So how do we do it? Well, the key strategies that the Health Collaborative undertakes through the use of data-driven strategies, again, are the community health and improvement plans. And again, those reports were traditionally issued every 4 years. Now it's every 3 years. And the areas, again, that they look at are obesity prevention. Now, these, once again, are all tied back to the health assessments that were previously done. So we have obesity prevention through the Project Measure Up, which is a school-based campaign in 9 area school districts. And tied to that is the Fit Family Challenge, again, bringing in caregivers and family members to look at nutrition and physical activity. We also look at the mental health as an important element. We have a relatively very young population, adolescent population, and that's addressed through the Young Minds Matter. And again, those are resources and support for adolescents, and it's basically built around a coalition of clinicians and professionals. We also have health literacy. That's being a big issue in San Antonio, so the San Antonio Health Literacy Initiative was developed, and now we have an annual conference that not only educates community members, but it has serves as the training resources for healthcare professionals. Other areas we look at are the HIV and AIDS, teen pregnancy and family health, and again, brought upon or identified through, again, the Community Health Improvement Plan and health assessment. I think we talked about this even previously in the previous presentation, but one of the things that when I was looking at the way and the mechanisms that the Health Collaborative does its work, it really frames the Institute of Medicine's framework for collaborative health action, from assessment and collaborative planning to implement targeted action, to changing communities and communities and systems, to achieving widespread behavior change and improving population health. But again, it's basically very cyclical in terms of moving behavior, changing systems to advance and improve community health. So what are the challenges? Well, some of the challenges encountered in terms of from the collaborative standpoint is managing relationships and maintaining a balanced approach to avoid pitfalls in community engagement and partnership. The competitiveness sometimes that often arises, even within organizations, and making sure to navigate that and keeping steady and serving as a neutral partner and a convening partner in order to move policy forward or strategies. There's also the organizational mindset and silo approach that still exists in communities. And so it's how do you break those and fashion them into a way that, again, brings people to the table to specifically target key conditions. And funding. Funding remains an issue, too, especially in the economic climate that I think we're still under, in terms of how do we best leverage resources and bring those, again, individuals to make it known that amid the limited resources that do exist, there's still opportunities to collaborate. And we also need to look at the state and national levels in terms of legislative changes that impact programming, and how does that then come down to the local level, and then how do local communities adjust to that, not only from the political, but also federal and state funding. So what are opportunities? Well, as always, you never stay stagnant, you're always changing, but there's always new collaborations and national models. The Healthy Vending was a way that originally started, I believe, in 2002, and now has been a way to educate individuals on, again, healthy eating but nutritional standards from the vending machine side. You also have the Vote and Vax, which now the collaborative will be participating on Election Day in four community sites to basically look at rates of vaccination among the population. You also have the influence of non-traditional partners to support efforts. And again, it's bringing individuals that may feel that, well, how does health relate to them? But again, it's diversifying those opportunities and letting them know that health basically is, as we say, health is in all policies, health is in all systems, and it affects everyone. But also supporting efforts to more effectively coordinate service delivery. And I think that's what's very important is you have the core health systems as members of the health collaborative. So it's good opportunities to basically help educate the community in terms of awareness, i.e. the medical home, the importance, and then reducing utilization of the emergency room, and basically focusing on prevention. What are things that they can do to avoid, hitting those systems? The impact is, again, reduced duplication, making individuals aware of the resources available and what is available to them locally. Also utilizing resources more effectively, and that goes to the financial state. As dollars become more thin, it's how do we use our resources most efficiently. And again, in the end, is improving the health outcomes of the community. So those become, again, the three critical issues there. I heard previously about sustaining momentum. Well, how does the health collaborative sustain and maintain the role in terms of what it does and how it plans in terms of the community health assessment and the CHIP play? Well, here we basically look at it side by side, and this is taken from the CHIP. But you look on the left-hand side, and that's the city of San Antonio and, of course, Bexar County. And so in San Antonio, from a community-level perspective, you have San Antonio 2020. So basically the vision of what San Antonio should look like in terms of a city being economically vibrant, attracting commerce, having healthy populations. And so then you bring the Community Health Improvement Plan, which basically segues between the city and the county, and that's the community-level vision for health, and it's five priority areas. And tied to that, at the local level, then university health system and other health systems then begin to strategically prioritize their health issues to tie it back to the community health improvement plan. From the local health district, it's how they identify their strategic plan. And then there's the mayor's fitness council, and then also our local grocery chain, which is the HEB wellness initiative. So those all basically roll up, and it basically looks at how do you complement, sustain, and build. There's no need to basically reinvent the wheel when you have these plans in place that have been vetted and identified by the community as key health challenges. And then from the Bexar County perspective, you have the local San Antonio Comprehensive HIV Services Plan and then Systems of Care for Behavioral Health. So again, there's plans within plans, but they all are in alignment. So what are our recommendations? Some of the recommendations in looking at the Health Collaborative and the work that it's been doing is, again, adopt a framework to foster collaborative health action. And the Institute of Medicine's model is a great framework to work from. Set the destination and community health status through strategic planning once again. I think that becomes very critical is, there's no stagnation. You're always moving. And so if it's not a community health assessment, it's through the CHIP. And then, again, 3 years comes by very quickly. So you're always moving and making sure that members and partners are working strategically together. Adopt a systematic approach to document impact of community interventions. And this is something where I think it becomes very important, not only in terms of funding, but basically coming back to your partner and saying, are we making a difference in the work that we're doing? And the collaborative, our health collaborative, has convened work groups in the community to basically help identify what impact is happening. Because again, it's driven by members, and it's a local approach. It's also important to maintain transparency and balance to foster and promote community partner engagement. Again, it's a very fine line that you can walk sometimes, but maintaining a neutral status to make sure that everyone is accounted for, that individuals are acknowledged for the good work that they do, but also more importantly that they're in there to improve community health and address those issues. So in terms of the next steps, what's underway? Plans are underway actually right now for the 2013 community health assessment. And I think from there, there's always lessons learned to be taken from previous assessments. So again, it's continuing to diversify not only the populations that are going to be participating, but the senior population as well. It becomes an important one. Military, and we're a large military hub in San Antonio, so taking those perspectives into play. It's also continuing to diversify, expand the Bexar County Health Collaborative itself. I think it's very important, and again, it goes back to that siloed approach that the individuals represent not only the community, but also understand how health resonates, not only with their staff, their employees, but in general, everyone. And then importantly is implementing, monitoring, and evaluating the Community Health Improvement Plan. In terms of milestones met, the Community Health Improvement Plan, one can argue, is basically measuring the impact of what is happening at the community level. And this, again, will be happening in three-year increments. So strategic objectives have been set. And so I think it'll be interesting to really look in terms of what milestones are being met in terms of health indicators. And this is, I thought I'd end this with some citizen cards that my son has, but I thought this was an interesting one. When people talk about community, about problems in your community, listen and learn, you might have a solution. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm going to ask you only to give us one way, in addition to partnering with local CBOs, that you validated their information in terms of reaching into the community on an individual basis. So, thanks to our speakers for their great presentations. We now have time for your questions. The microphone is here in the middle of the room. And while I'm waiting for you to get in line to ask your questions, I'm going to go to Mr. Melmed to ask him that first question, which of course is at the back of my group of papers, and that is, can you give us two strategies to develop collaboration in community-based initiatives?
Sure. Well, with this project, the different health departments did take different approaches. One of the approaches that we used was reaching out to children in the neighborhoods. For the Groton project, they reached out to children and asked them to do a photo voice. They gave them cameras and had them take pictures of the things that we said, take pictures of what you think impacts health in your neighborhood. And they took pictures, and we asked them, we did focus groups with them and asked them about their pictures. Why did they take the picture? What did they think it was about? Why did it impact health? And we took those comments, printed up the pictures, wrote the comments down, and brought those pictures out to the neighborhoods from which these children came. And so then we brought other community members in, showed them the comments that the children made, And we got different reactions. Some people were really excited, thought this was a great thing that we were doing. Other people were really upset, didn't think that the pictures the children took were representative of their neighborhood and how dare we air their dirty laundry kind of thing. We also took the opposite approach where we brought our more formally analyzed data out into the community. We brought maps of cardiovascular disease mortality, of prenatal care in communities, and asked people what they thought. What's going on here? So data tells us one thing, but I think people can bring as much or more to the table. They can tell us the context in which this occurs that I just don't know because I don't live in that neighborhood. So, and that was really exciting. For example, we brought a map of prenatal care in the town of Groton out into the community. And one person came up to me and said, oh, I'll tell you what's going on here. In our neighborhood, and it was a middle-income neighborhood, it's shocking that they had some of the lowest rates of prenatal care in the town. And they said, we have a lot of teenage pregnancies in this neighborhood. And those girls are frightened to tell anybody. So they hide their pregnancy for as long as they can. They don't go to the doctor, they don't tell anybody, and then finally they start showing and they have to go and seek care. So when we look back at the data, we saw, oh my gosh, in this neighborhood, 1 in 5 births is to a teenage mother. Amazing. So we brought data out. They described to us what they felt was going on. When we look back at the rest of our data, there it was. So there was back and forth. I mean, really tremendous.
Yeah, those are really, really great ideas. I love the camera one.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Ms. Baker, assuming that your community was the public school system and then the students themselves, can you give us briefly 2 strategies? Thank you.
2 strategies.
For how you entered those communities that were not your own community.
Okay.
So your own community was the student community at UNC Chapel Hill.
Okay, so this data was actually, it was nationally representative data, so they have data collectors in each community that collected that data. Does that answer your question?
That answers.
Okay.
For Dr. Sanchez, I had 2 questions, and of how you entered the communities that you entered to do your research. And you can ask your colleagues if you want to, if you didn't do that part.
Well, yeah, we did it all.
Okay.
We did it all together. Basically, we've all worked in public health for many years. Before I was at UNC, I was a public health person from New Mexico and have long-standing interests and commitments in New Mexico. Christina and Ron had been working in New Mexico for many years, and so entree into the communities wasn't really problematic for us in that we'd all had established relationships. I did want to just answer your original question about the reduction in the indicator, the outcome list. And what we did is, one of the things I didn't talk about is we had an online reporting work group constantly, and we had a terminology work group that were going on all of the time. And so what we did is we collapsed some of the outcomes so that we could honor everybody's desire to have their particular outcome represented. But that took a little bit more time, thus the need for a terminology work group and a constant online reporting work group. So it was a matter of negotiation and consensus building in terms of how we did that. Do you agree?
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much. It's nice to hear about a community of public health people that, even though you might not live in the community, that they know who you are and already feel comfortable to work with you. Yeah. So we're not always that lucky. Entering communities that are not our own is a serious issue for effective public health impact. Finally, I wanted to ask Mr. Salazar if he would bring just one of the ways in which he entered communities of which he was not a member, other than the local CBOs, which is an important first step.
Briefly. I'll be brief. Actually, I'm going to, Liz, I know you're in the audience, and I think you probably have some additional details in terms of the process, the specific details in terms of the methodology, but I thought I'd defer to you on this one. Because this is, I think,
Liz, can you come to the microphone so we can all hear you, please?
Yeah.
I'm the executive director for the Health Collaborative, which is the organization that Nina spoke about. So our organization is a little bit unique in the sense that we are part of the community in every sense of the word. Our organization begins at the collaborative level with a board membership and then extends through into the different programs. So when we talk about the health assessment and the CHIP, we're working with collaborative partners at even those grassroots levels. So we go from board collaboration to partner collaboration to specific dwellings within the community group. So if we want to know something specifically about, let's say, the school districts in our area, we will work with that specific cohort. We want to talk about issues that arise from preteen pregnancies. We will do much like the voice, the photo voice that you were talking about earlier. We want to talk about Promotora and the community health workers and the impact that they have. We will actually have sessions with those work groups. So we're pretty much, when we talk about community building, it really is from the ground up and then funnel it back down.
Absolutely excellent. Well, I hope that I thank you all for your attendance. I hope you learned a lot from these wonderful presentations that we've had. I wanted to say at the end that San Francisco is a walking town. You should be able to get your 10,000 steps in. I'm at 5754 for today. And if you go to the CHPPD booth at the exhibit hall, we're giving out free pedometers as long as they last. Thank you very much for your attendance.